WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Steel.
I'm Steve Kathan. They're watching the weather from the lower Great Plains into the deep south.
There's a threat for tornadoes from Kansas all the way down into Texas. We could see supercells, large hail, and winds over 75 miles an hour.
The Weather Channel Stephanie Abrams, yesterday a dozen tornadoes did damage in parts of four southern states. CBS's Mark Strassman reports from Alabama.
Strong winds sheared the walls off homes, cut through trees, and down power lines.
I was very scared. My heart was beating real fast.
Brittany Shade told us she saw the tornado approaching out her window and raced to wake up her sleeping daughter.
Like, boom, 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 boom. I thought it was going to take me.
Other parts of the state were pelted with hail, as were communities in Arkansas.
And Odyssey New York meteorologist Craig Allen says to the north, the issue is thick air from those Canadian wildfires.
We're seeing some of the worst smoky conditions in the upper Midwest, the upper plains, and over towards the Great Lakes.
In Washington, the U.S. Supreme Court with a decision today in an important case.
Federal law has given preference to Native Americans and tribal members for adoption or foster care placements for Native American children for decades. A white foster couple from Texas argued that parts of the law were racially biased against non-Native Americans, but the court ruled 7-2 that the plaintiffs did not have legal standing to challenge it. Allison Keyes, CBS News, Washington.
Add one more to the Republican presidential field. Miami Mayor Francis Suarez getting in the race on ABC's Good Morning America, asked about frontrunner Donald Trump.
This conversation is not a healthy conversation for the country. We should be talking about the issues that Americans care about. We shouldn't be talking about, candidates being indicted.
Now to Ukraine and the counteroffensive against invading Russian forces. CBS's Ian Lee met up with a Ukrainian unit returning from battle.
This soldier, call sign Blacksmith, led the first assault. It took us 2 days to push nearly 3 miles, he tells me. The Russians were dug in and heavily fortified, but intense artillery fire forced them to flee. The quickness of the Russians' retreat is scattered everywhere in their trenches. Weapons here, rations there, but war has taught them a lesson. Don't touch, he says. Anything could be booby-trapped.
Back here at home, the Mile High City is celebrating the NBA champion Nuggets.
What's up, Denver? I see you wearing the vest!
A victory parade today. Las Vegas will hold one Saturday for the Stanley Cup-winning Golden Knights. Checking Wall Street. Right now, the Dow is up 340 points. The NASDAQ is ahead 86, and the S&P is higher as well. This is CBS News.
There are over 10,000 reasons why steel is not sold at Lowe's or the Home Depot. There are over 10,000 authorized local steel dealers. Find yours at steelusa.com. Lowe's and the Home Depot are trademarks of their respective companies.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is the Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The air over the southern two-thirds of Wisconsin is too dangerous for many people to breathe. Smoke from Canadian wildfires is drifting back over Wisconsin again. Corinna Newsom is with the National Wildlife Federation. She says climate change could make air pollution from wildfires routine.
With there being more frequent, more intense, longer burning wildfires, and of course natural movement of air, we can absolutely expect to see wildfire smoke occurring in places where maybe wildfires are not actually burning, like we're seeing right now, being a more frequent experience.
Wisconsin is under its fifth air quality advisory this year. It's the most active year for air pollution in Wisconsin in more than a decade. Well, the hazy air is especially risky for people who have to work outside all day. Mike Moen reports.
The Occupational Safety and Health Administration says employers are required to protect workers from heat-related hazards. Sheila Stanley, a regional OSHA director, says companies need to develop plans that center around educating workers about the warning signs.
Employees must be trained on symptoms that they need to look out for in themselves, including dizziness, headache, confusion.
Extra water and break time in the shade are other important reminders. Stanley says beyond education, companies need to find ways to ensure a worker's body becomes acclimated to rising temperatures. The Bureau of Labor Statistics says there were 36 work-related deaths tied to heat exposure in 2021, the lowest number since 2017. I'm Mike Moen.
A big financial boost to Wisconsin public education is on its way to the governor. The bill passed both houses of the legislature last night. It includes more money for school vouchers, charter schools, and special needs students. The bill was part of a broader package that includes more money for shared revenue. The Department of Public Instruction says education spending will go up by more than $60 million this year and next. Governor Evers and Republicans who run the state legislature appear to be headed to a showdown over diversity, equity, and inclusion provisions in the state budget. Evers says he'll veto the entire bill if lawmakers take out $32 million for DEI-related expenses for the University of Wisconsin system. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss wants the money spent on something else. Evers says that makes no sense considering the state has a $7 billion surplus. The Joint Finance Committee resumes its work on the state budget this afternoon. Wisconsin may have a new top election official soon. The Wisconsin Elections Commission plans to vote later this month on who will lead the agency. Pete Schwabe reports.
With Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf's term set to expire on July 1st, the WEC will hold a vote this month to decide who will run the state's election body going forward. The commission could vote to reappoint her, select a new administrator, or possibly take no action at all. The WEC is a six-member board made up equally of Republican and Democratic appointees. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
Election officials around the country say Wolf is one of the best at her job, but Wisconsin Republicans who maintain Donald Trump was reelected president in 2020 are on the offensive. Commissioner Bob Spindell is already signaling he will not back her. Spindell was one of 10 fake electors for Trump. He and nine other Republicans signed electoral count paperwork in 2020 claiming Trump carried Wisconsin, but that was not the case. A Minnesota man is fined $1,500 for calling 911 and threatening to kill the family of the boy accused of killing Lily Peters in Chippewa Falls last year. Herbert Badalich of St. Paul admits he was angry, frustrated, and drunk when he picked up the phone. It's 12:07.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Here's what you need to know in Southeast Wisconsin. An air quality advisory for our area and a good chunk of the state runs through midnight. Smoke from Canadian wildfires continue to impact the region. There's also a water danger locally. Brittany Merlot has more.
A beach hazard statement has been issued until Friday morning as waves are climbing up to 5 feet high with dangerous currents along Lake Michigan in Milwaukee, Racine, and Kenosha counties. Stay out of the water in dangerous areas like piers and breakwalls and avoid McKinley Beach, Wind Point Lighthouse Beach, and Simmons Island Beach until Friday afternoon as rip currents are likely. If you do find yourself in a rip current, swim parallel to shore to escape the pole, then attempt to return to shore.
Law enforcement is keeping an eye on drivers in Waukesha County today, implementing targeted traffic enforcement measures. The State Patrol and Sheriff's Department base their deployment areas on crash data from the WIS.Community Maps program. State Senate Representative Van Wongard from Racine says he doesn't know why any realistic person would vote against the shared revenue plan. Wongard asserts that the bill, which has bipartisan support and is now headed to the governor, is a victory for all residents of the state. There were opposing votes from both Democrats and Republicans on the bill. Yesterday's plane crash in Watertown happened shortly after takeoff, about 4 miles from the municipal airport. It involved a four-seat propeller plane, and it's believed that two people died in the accident. That's according to the NTSB. A four-day jury trial next year has been set for the Racine County man charged with election fraud. 69-year-old Harry Waite was in court this week on several charges, including two felonies. The Union Grove resident says he proudly used the state voting website to request and receive ballots of elected officials.
If that's what it takes to stop the fraud, yes, I'll go behind bars.
A judge has ordered Waite not to talk about the case. For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Today will be the coolest day of the entire week. Low to mid-70s are expected near Madison and along the Mississippi, while north-central Wisconsin hits the mid to upper 60s, and quite a bit chillier by the lakes as your high temperatures were reached early this morning. Now with wind gusts out of the north approaching 20 miles per hour, temperatures are crashing throughout the rest of the day. Otherwise, we stay dry today, which is not good news because Wisconsin is now in a flash drought due to the abnormally dry air surging in from Canada. It's making the recent rain evaporate more rapidly than normal. This shoved 46% of the state into a moderate drought, up 25% from just last week, leaving 90% of the state abnormally dry still. Crazy to comprehend how a wind shift counteracted the quarter to 2 inches of rain the state received. Have a tremendous Thursday, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Brewers head for home. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Milwaukee lost both games in their two-game series against the Minnesota Twins at Target Field. The final yesterday afternoon, the Twins 4, the Brewers 2. The crew got those two runs in the second inning, and that was it for the day. Brewers starting pitcher Colin Ray pitched 5 innings, giving up 5 hits and 4 earned runs. Craig Counsell.
Yeah, you know, I thought he was not quite as sharp today. You know, we got through 5 and, you know, probably should have been 3-2 and you know, a one-run deficit.
Brewers pitcher Colin Ray.
Yeah, I definitely felt a little off from the beginning. Overall, just tried to battle through it, really. I think it's just about getting ahead and sequencing correctly. You know, I don't know if we threw in enough for strikes, at least commanded the ball in enough to the lefties, so they were able to kind of stay out over the plate and get swings on them.
Twins manager Rocco Baldelli on the sweep.
We've been playing some pretty good baseball lately. It carried over into this series all the way around. The at-bats were good. Played some pretty good defense and good pitching. We're playing the way we want.
The Brewers have the day off before opening a series at home tomorrow night against the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Oakland A's got approval from the Nevada legislature, who voted in favor of funding to build a new baseball stadium for the team in Las Vegas. The bill to be signed by the governor of Nevada. NBA, a report says the Milwaukee Bucks and Miami Heat are putting in bids to trade for the Wizards' Bradley Beal. The 29-year-old guard has been named to the NBA's All-Star team 3 times. In golf, round one of the U.S. Open is underway at the Los Angeles Country Club, the purse worth over $17 million. NFL, the Packers wrapping up their minicamp today with a team function. Center Josh Myers entering his third season after missing half of his rookie year with a knee injury.
Fortunately for me, I knew there was going to be struggle. I've played the game way too long to not understand. There's struggle with every step of the way, and it just gets worse the higher level you get. It's just the nature of it. So I was expecting it. It's been a wild ride so far, for sure.
Packers president Mark Murphy says now that Aaron Rodgers has left, he expects to see more of Matt LaFleur's playbook being used by Jordan Love. I asked LaFleur,
have you seen Jordan get to a certain level, or are you trying different things you might like to try this fall?
It is a good time to experiment a little bit with certain things. Quite frankly, that goes on throughout the course of the season, but in particular, OTAs, training camp, to really kind of narrow down how do we want to attack and what do our guys do to the best of their ability.
And Chicago Bears defensive lineman Justin Jones was asked about Aaron Rodgers no longer being in Green Bay. Jones had this to say about Packers fans.
We went out there and we played a pretty good game, and they won, but their fans are really shit. So, man, like, I mean, man, like, just the way that they're just freaking obnoxious, just yelling and all that other stuff about things that don't even matter. Who are we talking about here? Like, you know, y'all. Half of them don't even know football.
The Packers are undefeated, 6-0 against the Bears under Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Did you know the Country Music Hall of Fame group The Oak Ridge Boys is celebrating 50 years of great music? The boys are on tour and will be playing the Menominee Nation Arena in Oshkosh Friday, June 16th. Their four-part harmony upbeat songs are legendary, but do you know which of their many hit singles topped the country charts and became a top 5 on the pop charts? Is it Bobby Sue, Elvira, or their holiday song, Thank God for Kids? The answer coming up.
I'm the new guy. I joined in October of 73. I was 25 years old, and here it is 50 years later. I'm still singing with the Oak Ridge Boys, and I'm 75 years old.
That's Joe Bonzel, the tenor of the group. I talked with him about the Oshkosh show and their fans.
They can expect to hear a fast-paced show, lots of music, lots of singing. You can bring grandma, bring the kids, and they're not going to hear nothing they shouldn't hear.
And one thing you can expect to hear, the song Elvira. It is the Oak Ridge Boys' single hit to top both the country and pop charts. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Weather brought to you by Freshfin, bringing you a fresh and healthy, fast casual experience. Seafood, chicken, pork, or tofu. The bowl options at Freshfin are endless. Check them out at the corners of Brookfield, Bayshore Mall, East Side, and Third Ward. Or online at freshfin.com.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. More clouds than sun this afternoon with highs around 69. Northerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows level off around 48. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Lots of sunshine tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 73. Dry with seasonal temps Saturday and Sunday and highs from the upper 70s to the low 80s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 63 degrees.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Joining us, this is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio, where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, please give us a call, 844-967-2789. I am William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with Our Wisconsin Revolution. And who am I joined by today? Who we all got on the call?
Oh, Luke Mathers here from Civic Media. I'm glad to be with
Hello,
you, Will.
Luke Mathers.
Yeah.
It's good to have you, Luke.
We got Aaron on the
board. Aaron, how are you doing today?
Doing pretty well. I'm here. I'm awake. I should hope so. It's afternoon, but yeah.
Hey, man, I've got an unordinary amount of caffeine pumping through my veins. Had late night volleyball last night, so therefore the cold brew and has been much needed to get me going on this Thursday afternoon. But glad to join you both here on the airwaves.
I got a couple of counterpoints, Luke, I have to throw in. First of all, Aaron, that's like 90% of the battle, right? Showing up, if I've learned anything from like Instagram influencers posting.
Oh my gosh.
How to make a, Where how to Will improve gets your life and showing up. And secondly, Luke, what time was your late night volleyball game? Don't be acting like you were running this
it
late.
It ended at 10 p.m. It ended at 10 p.m., which is late for me. I got off the sand court at 10 p.m. last night. 9:55 maybe. I think we wrapped just before 10. But that's late for the morning news guy now. Come on. You can't deny that if you had to be up shortly after 5 a.m., that a 10 p.m. finishing volleyball. I didn't get to bed until after 11, but...
I mean, I could deny it. I don't necessarily agree with that. Yeah. I might just be denying it just to, you know, paint you in a corner. But no, that doesn't
contrarian.
Make a lot of sense.
You
I'm a bit of a night owl, so I hear 10 o'clock and I'm like, what?
Yeah, I mean, for some people,
I'm settling down
still
with a book
early.
At that point. Yeah. Like, yeah.
No, but it was late hours. Night. I got a lot of caffeine pumping through me, but glad to be here on the airwaves with you. And we want to talk with Wisconsin listeners about your thoughts on elections here in Wisconsin, because we want to know, do you believe the state's top election official should be reappointed to another term? 844-967-2789. We've got news that the Wisconsin Elections Commission is going to vote on the whether or not to reappoint or appoint somebody else other than current administrator of the commission, Megan Wolf, in this nonpartisan position. Her term ends July 1st. Do you believe that our state's top election official deserves to be reappointed to another term? 844-967-2789. Will, what are your thoughts?
Well, reading from the piece at the AP, top Wisconsin election official facing replacement calls for stability and her attempts to defend her record, I do have to note right away a quote from Ms. Wolf stating, "Well, I would ultimately support the commission's decision to go in the direction of appointing someone new. There is no substitute for my decade plus of experience in helping run Wisconsin's elections at the state level. It is a fact that if I am not selected for this role, Wisconsin would have a less experienced administrator at the helm." I have to note that, you know, I made the comparison with you before the call that I think in a lot of ways, these very important but behind the scenes nonpartisan roles kind of serve as like an umpire or the referee in an NBA game, right? Where your job is to be behind the scenes doing the work that needs to get done, but people shouldn't necessarily know your name. In this situation, of course, all of the aggressive rhetoric regarding the 2020 election and a number of, as Megan states, a vocal minority providing false information have kind of called her work into question because of what we saw with the 2020 election and Republican lawmakers' attempts to support former President Donald Trump's false claims that these elections were stolen. Now, the outcome in Wisconsin has withstood two partial recounts, a nonpartisan audit, a conservative law firm review, numerous state and federal lawsuits, and a Republican-ordered review that has found no evidence of widespread fraud before the investigator was fired, of course, referring to Michael Gableman and the $2-plus million that the Wisconsin legislature paid him, paid him to find fraud that he was unable to find. I think it's really par for the course, I think, for the modern way that American electoral politics functions, that a small percentage, a vocal minority of the population who were frustrated with the result of a democratically run election want to call the election into question. So they need to find someone to blame. They need to find a scapegoat. And in this situation, they landed on Megan Wolf, the nonpartisan administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission.
And we want to hear what your thoughts are. 844-967-2789. You can call or text 844-96-PARTY. We want to hear, do you believe that the state's top election official, is she worthy for another term? Or do you believe somebody else should run the Wisconsin Elections Commission in the years coming forward? It's also interesting to note that her term ends on July 1st, Will. But at the same time, we now, from a recent state Supreme Court ruling, A vacancy end date does not create the vacancy. If the Wisconsin Elections Commission, the six commissioners that by design, three Republican appointees, three Democratic appointees, if they deadlock and they can't come to a decision on who to replace Megan Wolf, if they were to go in that direction, because of the Fred Pren ruling, the vacancy does not get created on July 1st. Megan Wolf can continue to serve in her role as the Wisconsin Elections Commission administrator because of the deadlock. So unless they can find compromise on the WEC and come up with somebody else to run the state's elections, Megan Wolf will continue to serve in that role beyond July 1st. And so it does leave an interesting dynamic to this whole process now that here in Wisconsin, an end date does not create a vacancy. And that is what was decided by a recent state Supreme Court ruling. So we want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. Do you believe the state's elections administration should be run? The administrator should continue to run the state's elections? Do you believe we need to go in a different direction? 844-967-2789.
If I could add a little bit, Luke, as well, reading from the AP piece, that Megan Wolf is one of the most respected elected officials in the U.S., according to the Associated Press, having served as president of nationally recognized election organizations, including the National Association of State Election Directors and the Electronic Registration Information Center. I found another piece from Scott Bauer of the AP from February 7th of 2022. So, you know, last February, Bipartisan Wisconsin Business Coalition backs election head. A bipartisan group of prominent Wisconsin business leaders is voicing support for the state's embattled elections administrator, her staff, and local election officials, issuing a letter Monday backing Megan Wolf, even as elected Republicans have called for her resignation and pursued investigations into how the 2020 election was run. The Wisconsin Business Leaders for Democracy Coalition, formed last year, sent letters offering sincere gratitude and full support to Wolf, the Wisconsin Elections Commission, and more than 1,800 municipal clerks who run elections in this battleground state. So evidently, business leaders in the state recognize her as someone who's at the top of her field, who has done a tremendous job for a number of years. Other professionals in the industry have recognized she's done a tremendous job in her position for a number of years, or she wouldn't have been elected to serve as the president of a number of election organizations that I just mentioned. It just seems to be a small handful of elected conservative leaders, particularly the ones who support Donald Trump, not necessarily elected conservatives in general, but the elected conservatives who support Trump who are pushing for this.
Well, and interestingly enough, the vocal minority has made changes to the elections administration here in Wisconsin already. The current chairman of the WEC, Don Millis, is only on that body now because former appointee to the Wisconsin Elections Commission for that role, it's the appointment from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, was Dean Knutson. And Dean Knutson left that body. He left the Wisconsin Elections Commission because he said he was getting pressured from Republican officials here in the state of Wisconsin that he had lost the Republican Party faithful, that he wasn't in line with where Republicans were on elections. And so Knutson stepped down from that body, and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss then appointed Don Millis to the Wisconsin Elections Commission. So there have already been calls for changes, and those calls heeded by Republican lawmakers deciding who is on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. So it will be interesting to continue to follow this story as it develops, leading up between now and the end appointment date for Megan Wolf on July 1st. But again, that end date does not create the vacancy according to Wisconsin law now, because the Wisconsin Supreme Court has said that just because that end date's there, unless there is a actual vacancy, unless Megan Wolf resigns on July 1st, she can continue to serve. It will be up to her. It will be up to her discretion, like it was up to Frederick Prenz's discretion to remain on when the state Senate did not confirm Prenz's replacement. And so it's something to keep an eye on. There has been a vocal minority already when it comes to this body. But we want to hear your thoughts. Do you believe the state's top election officials, or the top election official?
The top, yeah.
Yes. Do you believe that she should be reappointed to another term? 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Do you believe, like Wisconsin businesses penned in that letter, that we have one of the best election officials in the country? Or do you believe that it's time for the state to go in a different direction when it comes to election administration here in Wisconsin? 844-967-2789. We got CJ calling in from Stoughton. CJ, what are your thoughts on the reappointment of Megan Wolf?
Well, thanks for taking my call. Well, I'd like to hear her positions on some of the things that went on during COVID. Republicans believe in a free, fair, and trusting election. The exceptions that were made for COVID, like voting in the park, and your stance of your party that we shouldn't have election ID, voter ID, proves the point that you want questions in elections. You don't want free, fair, and trusting elections. If you're against voter ID, then you don't want free, fair elections. The drop boxes, unattended, and voting in the park was proven unconstitutional. But just like the budget,
when was it proven, CJ, when was it proven unconstitutional?
Because it was made as an exception for COVID, and it was done without the approval.
A lawsuit was brought by the Republican Party of Wisconsin against the city of Madison, and it was upheld in court that the Democracy in the Park event was valid. There were individuals there to... Yes, it was. It was the Republican Party of Wisconsin dropped the state lawsuit, CJ. It did not...
My question to you is, do you want it to continue?
CJ, I believe that during the COVID-19 pandemic, when you needed a signature to validate your absentee ballot and you lived alone, there needed to be processes put in place so that you could have that signee. And that's what the city of Madison did. If you've got thoughts on the elections and our top election official here, we want to hear them. 844-967-2789. This is Town Call with Will and Luke. We'll be right back.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup starting at 6 AM. Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Forecasters predict more rough weather in parts of the southern half of the country. Tornadoes did damage in four southern states yesterday. CBS's Jared Hill says one was Alabama.
Look at the stuff flying.
In Eufaula, a twister knocked down trees and power lines.
It was like boom, 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 boom.
Pulling the roof off Brittany Shade's apartment.
apartment building.
I was very scared. My heart was beating real fast.
Miami Mayor Francis Suarez on ABC this morning entered the GOP presidential race.
I'm the only Hispanic candidate in both parties who's running. I think that's incredibly important because 20% of the country is made up of Hispanics that are trending Republican.
No decision yet from the Supreme Court on the key college affirmative action case. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
The case comes down to whether the use of racial preferences can continue to be used as a factor in college admissions, even if it discriminates against other students with higher test scores.
CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Here's what you need to know in Southeast Wisconsin. A small plane crash near the local airport in Watertown resulted in the deaths of two people yesterday. The cause of the crash is still under investigation. The plane was a Mooney M20R, capable of seating four people, although only two were on board at the time. Along with sharing $500 million with local governments across the state, the bipartisan shared revenue deal will allow Milwaukee and Milwaukee County to raise taxes, but does require the city to spend that money on pensions or police and fire departments. Governor Evers still needs to sign it. Pool problems plague one local community. Melissa Kay has more.
Kenosha is facing the possibility of not opening two of its city-operated swimming pools for the summer due to a shortage of lifeguards. The city is currently accepting applications for part-time lifeguards, offering to cover the cost for Red Cross certification.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
Calling to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs. GTWLawyers.com.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
It's go time at Chula Vista. Time for you to discover Wisconsin's most complete resort experience. 200,000 square feet of water park fun. New thrills like zip line racing. 18 holes of classic golf. Wisconsin's number one steakhouse. Hundreds of newly renovated rooms. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Chula Vista Resort is one of the nation's top 10 indoor water parks for USA Today's 2023 Reader's Choice Awards. Find out why at ChulaVistaResort.com.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigby Olson has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Rocking the suburbs around the clock just one more time. Rocking the suburbs, cause I can't tell which house is mine.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, please give us a call, 844-967-2789. And I'd like to touch on something that CJ, who called in before the break, mentioned. And I guess I'd be curious to hear from the audience their thoughts, because one point he made that I think is important to kind of touch on is, of course, voter ID laws. You know, we have a ID mandated for driving. We have all of this kind of stuff. The argument that I would make, or the point I would put forth, and I'd be curious specifically to know from someone like-minded to CJ what they think is.
Or CJ, if you want to call back in, we'll continue himself. The conversation. Sure. We'll continue the conversation with CJ. If he's on his good behavior, we'll continue talking to him about it.
If you can hear me, CJ, I would like to know your thoughts on this. If we're going to require voter ID laws Do you agree or disagree then that the U.S. government should provide a free ID to all U.S. citizens? Because I think that's a perfectly reasonable conversation then to have. Yes, you require voter ID. However, you cannot, it's a poll tax basically to expect someone to have to pay for their own ID that is then required to vote. Someone who might not have, and the argument I hear to counter that all the time is, oh, you know, it's only a couple bucks, whatever. But a couple bucks adds up, particularly for people who have to decide between food, rent, or voting. What are they going to do? They're going to put their needs, their day-to-day functional needs, yeah. Their immediate functional needs are always going to come first. So, you know, that's a very interesting conversation, Luke, that I think we're going to have on the show at some point. Voter ID laws in particular, if we're going to require it, okay, fine, but it has to then be provided free of charge to all U.S. citizens.
Yeah, thoughts. Absolutely. No, I thoughts. Yes, it is.
Questions, concerns.
I believe CJ and I have had that discussion on the air in a previous show format. So it is absolutely, in my opinion, a valid conversation to have, and not only the cost of the ID, but also the accessibility and ability to get the ID as well. There are restrictions that certain demographics have a harder time getting to a DMV that's only open from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And so you have to talk about the logistics of how to receive the IDs as well. So mm-hmm. CJ, if you want to call us back, you can continue the conversation, or if you want to share your thoughts on whether or not the state's top election official should be reappointed to another term, or you believe that the state should go in a different direction besides the administrator, Megan Wolf. I want to hear those thoughts. 844-967-2789. You can call or text because it seems like Don Millis, the current chairman of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, is saying before the month is over, that body, the six members, three Democratic appointees, three Republican appointees, will have, during their meeting, a conversation whether to reappoint Megan Wolf or to appoint somebody else to the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And that is why Wolf penned a letter earlier this week to the 1,800 election officials that we have across the state of Wisconsin that she is responsible for, the overseeing of all of those different election officials. And she penned saying that if the commission goes in another direction, that she will respect that decision, but that she believes that she is one of the top election officials in the country, and the commission would be lost from the institutional knowledge that Megan Wolf brings to how our state conducts its elections. So it's important to note. We want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. And Will, do you believe that we're going to see before the end of this month movement on this? Do you think this is going to go beyond the July 1st appointment end date for Wolf? Or do you believe this is something that the commission is going to take care of over the next two and a half weeks here?
Well, you would hope they're able to take care of this. But I think based on the conversation we had before the break, you know, there is no massive important election going on in 2023. It is an off year, unless you live in my neck of the woods where we have the special election, the special election squared, however you'd like to refer to it. I worry that a lot of this might be specifically designed to come to a head in 2024. They are kind of laying the groundwork to impact the 2024 election, whether we see something very similar to what happened in 2020, where the victorious side, or excuse me, where the defeated side automatically assumes that they won due to fraud and then takes the court, the case to whatever court is willing to hear it, pushes it up the line. I have to note as well, Luke, that current and former election officials have repeatedly warned that the unrelenting attempts to discredit Joe Biden's 2020 victory have led to an erosion of public confidence in elections and threats of physical violence against election workers, according to the Associated Press. And a number of election workers worry that the longtime election officials will be driven from their jobs, creating a vacuum of experience that in some cases could be filled by partisan actors. You touched on the institutional knowledge that would be lost from the people who have facilitated years and years and years of elections. And you know what this kind of reminds me of is a conversation that we had yesterday regarding teachers, right? That we are facing a massive shortage of teachers in the state of Wisconsin because they are, whether it's malicious or a side effect of malicious behavior at the state level, are leaving the industry. We no longer have these people willing to do this, frankly, incredibly vital work. And the state of Wisconsin is going to continue suffering going forward. I have to note as well regarding Megan Wolf that she was appointed the director by the commission in 2019 and confirmed unanimously by the then Republican-controlled Senate for this term that will end in the middle of 2023. So, you know, she was incredibly well supported by elected conservative officials in 2019. What changed? Well, they didn't get their wish in the 2020 election, and now we're kind of seeing this come to a head.
We want to hear your thoughts here on Town Call. 844-967-2789. You can call or text. We got Kurt and Rhinelander calling in. Kurt, your thoughts on the state of elections here in Wisconsin.
Hey, gentlemen. Yeah, voter ID in Wisconsin is free. It can be done online or phone call or mail in, as is most states. For voting, ID is free. An ID card is free.
I was not familiar. I'm going to look that up right now, yep. Actually.
Yeah, as is most states. I can't think off the top of my head. There's probably a couple, but Wisconsin, it is free.
You're not referring to a driver's license specifically, correct?
No, it's voter ID card is free.
Yeah, it looks like as long as you have proof of citizenship and like a birth certificate if you've got it, or a social security number if you've got it, and you don't have a driver's license, you can apply for a free Wisconsin voter ID with the IDPP, the ID petition process.
Interesting. Well, I mean, that plays into the point that I made earlier then. And Kurt, then I'd be curious to know your thoughts on mandating this voter ID, because I am in agreement then that if we're going to have, if you offer free ID for all individual citizens, and again, that's not touching on the logistics of it, as in if it's difficult to obtain, if there's any hurdles or purposefully, for example, as Luke specifically mentioned, you know, DMV hours are not exactly ideal for people who are working a standard 9-to-5. It might make it difficult for them to get in and obtain this. But if we made a concerted effort at the state level to get an ID card to every single Wisconsin resident free of charge, then yes, I have no problem with that being required in order to vote. Thoughts,
correct.
Kurt?
Wasn't voter ID your card asked?
I'm sorry, you cut out. Could you repeat that?
Hello? Yes, wasn't voter ID required in the past?
It started, I believe, in 2012 to 2014, right around then. I don't know exactly when it got implemented, Kurt, but it was a concerted effort. It was never a problem before that. All of a sudden, after probably about 2011, 2012 is when a concerted effort for voter ID became something that states around the country began doing, including here in Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
So it was a relatively new phenomenon about a decade ago. Before that, the election process was you signed the election book that they had a signature on record for you already. They matched the signatures. You showed... you got your ballot then and you voted. But before voter ID, which became a pretty concentrated effort in that early 2010s, early part of last decade, that is when voter ID started popping up. But before that, most states, my understanding, did not require any form of photo ID to be able to vote, including here in Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
Kurt has me excited now that I'm going to fill out.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Kurt.
No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, you got me excited now. I'm on the Wisconsin Department of Transportation page. I'm going to go fill out an MV3004 as well. I would like to, I'm going to follow this up. I want to see this process, how this process plays out. And so it does say that, we specifically mentioned the Department of Motor Vehicles Customer Service Center, which could be a bit of a hurdle, but I would like to have a voter ID card myself, and I am planning on taking this opportunity to do so. So I will let the listeners know in the coming weeks how this plays out.
But do you have a driver's license?
Oh, I do. Is it an either or?
Yeah, I believe it's either or.
Oh, that is unfortunate. Okay,
there we go. We'll have to look more into it. We appreciate that information, Kurt. We love being informed here on Town Call. If you want to share your thoughts or any updates with us, 844-967-2789. You can call or text. Talking about elections, I think it's also important to note, though, Will, that voter ID wasn't really, I mean, besides the fact of requesting the absentee ballot process, voter ID wasn't the main concern, at least in my understanding, for 2020. And are you telling me that the voter ID law is the reason why Megan Wolf is not going to be reappointed to another term? As you've noted, she was unanimously confirmed to that position back in 2019. And so I think it's also important to point out that there was no evidence whatsoever in all of the recounts, the lawsuits, the quote-unquote investigation by the Office of the Special Counsel authorized by the Assembly Republicans, that the drop boxes weren't secure and safe. There was no proof that there was any fraud to individuals going to their library, to the fire department, to City Hall, and during the pandemic, dropping off an absentee ballot in one of those secure and safe drop boxes. No difference between that and a mailbox. There truly is no other difference. And yes, the Wisconsin State Supreme Court has decided since that drop boxes are not specifically outlined in state law, so therefore they cannot be used going forward, but there was, again, a novel coronavirus that was having election administrators during that April, the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic, the first several weeks of it, trying to figure out how to conduct a statewide election in the midst of keeping people safe. And so absentee ballot drop boxes were used once reviewed and said, okay, unless the state legislature authorizes this, we can't have them going forward. But there was no impropriety in those drop boxes. They just weren't specified in state law. And so to pretend like there's any malfeasance there or wrongdoing by our election officials that were attempting to keep people safe and honor their constitutional right to vote, that's going to be what some are going to use as justification for Megan Wolf not to have another term if it comes up to that debate. We're going to see. But we want to hear your thoughts on whether or not the state's top election official should be reappointed or if we should go in a different direction. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. Will, I think the people can follow us on Twitter. You want to share that Twitter handle we got for the show?
Please do. Town Hall WI. Find us on Twitter. We will
Town
be there.
Call WI.
Town Call WI.
Town
excuse
Call
me.
WI.
I have it up right here and I just misread it. So maybe deferring back to yesterday's conversation, I guess I can't read. Public schools must have failed me.
Folks, we got one more segment in today's edition of Town Call. Give us a call. 844-967-2789. We want to hear your thoughts on elections here in Wisconsin.
The summer heat can really get to you. Hot, sticky, you feel like you're melting. But Wauwatosa, coming in July, it'll be easy to cool off at Joy Ice Cream Social. This family-run, family-friendly business is more than just ice cream. It's a cool community hangout spot for friends and family. Let's talk about the ice cream. 16 delicious rotating flavors direct from the chocolate shop in Madison. The perfect way to stay sweet and cool this summer. Opening in July, Joy Ice Cream Social. Scoop, snack, shop. 8334 West North Avenue. Follow them on Facebook and Instagram.
Get ready to dominate the field like never before. Get to Soccer World in Brookfield. They have a great selection of shoes, apparel, and accessories to help kick your game into high gear. Soccer World's team of soccer experts have over 38 years of experience in the retail and soccer market. From cleats to shin guards, jerseys to coaching equipment, they'll help you stay ahead of the game. Plus, look to Soccer World for all your team business needs. Soccer World, 12615 West North Avenue in Brookfield, or online at soccerworldofbrookfield.net.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly cloudy this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 69. Winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows level off around 48. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Mainly sunny skies and calm. Tomorrow, highs level off around 73. Dry with temperatures near average Saturday and Sunday, and highs from the upper 70s to the low 80s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 63 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. At 12:15, Wisconsin Roundtable. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Welcome all. Welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. That is Town Call with a C, where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, please give us a call, 844-967-2789. We are talking Wisconsin Election Commission. Do you believe Wisconsin's top election official should be reappointed for another term? Obviously, we have covered the extensive efforts by some elected Republican officials throughout the course of the 2020 election to overturn the results in Wisconsin based on President Donald Trump's false claims that the election was stolen. This is considering that the outcome has withstood two partial recounts, a nonpartisan audit, a conservative law firm review, numerous state and federal lawsuits, and a Republican-ordered review that found no evidence of widespread fraud before Mr. Michael Gableman was fired. Luke, we've covered the election officials' role. We've covered the election officials' history as incredibly well-respected in the industry. Why is this being discussed now? We briefly touched earlier on potential ramifications for 2024. Do you think this might be an attempt to set the stage to succeed where attempts to overturn the election in 2020 might have failed, particularly because those who were involved were not punished? And, you know, it's a bit of a cliche, but we say that all the time. If you do something illegal and you are not punished, it is basically a test run for your future successful attempt.
Well, it's interesting to note that the end appointment date is July 1st. So that is coming up around the corner. But as we've noted, the recent state Supreme Court decision surrounding Frederick Prenn's refusal to leave his appointment, even though a successor was nominated to succeed him, that he just said, no, I'm not going to resign until the state Senate. And the state Senate just did not take up the appointment because there was very little work being done by any member of the legislature during 2022. They adjourned legislative sessions in the first week of March by the end of March. And so they took a lot of time off last year. They did not confirm that appointment. It worked its way through the state courts, and the verdict now, according to the state's highest court, is that an end date of an appointment does not create in itself a vacancy. And so even though the end of Megan Wolf's term is July 1st, because of this recent precedent, she can continue to serve until it gets sorted out by the members of the Wisconsin Elections Commission and then ultimately the state Senate, whether or not they will approve or deny that replacement or reappointment of Wolf will determine who is the state's top election official. We want to hear your thoughts. If you believe that Megan Wolf deserves another term, she was unanimously approved by the state Senate in 2019. And it's going to be up for question now because there are some state senators that have changed their tune since 2019. There are state senators now calling for a different election official to lead the state's elections administration here in Wisconsin. Want to know your thoughts on it. 844-967-2789. You can be like Mark in Prairie du Sac. Mark, do you believe Megan Wolf deserves another term as the Wisconsin Elections Commission's administrator?
Yes, I certainly do, and I think that Bob Spindell should keep his mouth shut, because if I was telling Josh Call what to do, that Bob Spindell should actually be in jail right now for his being a fake elector. I mean, why he hasn't been bounced from that commission is beyond me. And as far as I'm tired of CJ inventing, you know, he's entitled to his opinion, but he's not entitled to inventing facts. The facts of the matter is those boxes, lock boxes, drop boxes were secure. And if you believe in voter ID, fine and dandy. And when kids get out of high school, graduate from high school, hit 18 years old, they should be issuing those IDs to and registering people to vote when they're graduating from high school, when they hit 18. I mean, and how hard, it's tough for people to get, if you have access to the equipment to file for a free ID, that's all well and good. But the fact of the matter is most, a lot of people do not have the equipment, the computer equipment, or even the broadband access to, you know, to access the voter ID system. I mean, that a voter ID should be, and if any state issued ID then should actually, you know, that along with proof of citizenship should be adequate to vote, because student IDs are not, you know, even though they're issued by the state of Wisconsin, if they're coming from a UW system, you know, college, that that they're not eligible to be for voter ID. So the Republicans do not want people to vote, which I think is a clear violation of the 14th Amendment, Section 2, which more or less says the electorate are the people that are supposed to choose the electors, not the legislature. The 15th Amendment, along with the modifications allowing women and 18-year-olds the right to vote. I mean, you have to take that in combination, and voting should not be a problem. And as you pointed out, the reason we had the drop box is because of COVID. I mean, is that a nationwide...
Well, the drop boxes, Mark, were used before COVID, but they became more widespread during the COVID-19 pandemic because election officials needed to know where to turn to be able to safely conduct a statewide election. Wisconsin, I believe, well, I could be wrong, but I believe Wisconsin was the first state to hold a statewide election once the coronavirus pandemic was declared at the end of March in 2020.
That's something that I wanted to touch on earlier, actually, is I remember that primary very well. I remember Senator Bernie Sanders telling people, stay home, please. Don't come out and vote.
There was questions of whether or not the state was even going to conduct its election on that day.
Yeah. This was unprecedented. And I have to think of, I believe it's Hanlon's razor, don't attribute to malice that which can be attributed to ignorance or incompetence. In this situation, it's not necessarily incompetence, but, you know, COVID was unprecedented in essentially every way. I mean, that was a generation defining event that is we're going to see the ramifications of the COVID pandemic for the next hundreds of years if human society stays at that point. So to fault anyone for that, I think is unfair, because we were all learning. We got a little bit left in the show. I want to go to Rico from Rock County. Rico, what are your thoughts on the Wisconsin Election Commission's top official?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, after the 2020 election, all the recounts, the audits, partisan scrutiny, not only should this woman remain on the elections board, she deserves a trophy for the highest integrity. That's all I got to say. This is a no-brainer. This is a no-brainer. That's all I got for you.
Thank you, Rico. And, well, you're not the only one who thinks that. As we noted throughout the show, she is widely respected in the industry and is considered one of America's leaders from a nonpartisan administrative position. So this is Town Call. Thank you so much for joining everyone today, or for joining us on the forum today, everyone. Luke, it was wonderful to have you. Aaron, it's always great to have you on the board. We're going to be back tomorrow. If you'd like to participate in tomorrow's forum, please give us a call, 844-967-2789. We might have some Wisconsin headlines for you. I want to hear the best one you can find. We'll see you all tomorrow, everybody.
Talk to y'all then.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Don McCrute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 540 AM WAUK.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always.